right, all right. Welcome to another thrilling episode of Truth and Reconciliation. It's the Fantasy Football Pillwood League podcast. He's Peter Elwood. I'm Seth Martin. It's great to have you with us. Peter, how are you, sir?
I guess I can't complain too much, Seth, but I do feel like we're in a little bit of the dead of the fantasy football season, or it was just a really crappy week six for me all the way around, and I'm having a hard time getting too revved up about week seven. It's a week-to-week proposition here.
Yeah. Well, I'm certainly in a little bit of a downtrodden mood personally, although there's nothing not to be excited about. I mean, I'm looking at our league rankings and, you know, kind of what we were hoping for within the standings is coming to fruition. It's a tight race. I mean, you got to be excited as a commissioner about those things, yeah?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. It's just not excited personally, having taken a loss in our league and not putting up a good effort, taking a loss in FanDuel and in another league this week. There's a lot of losing going on this past week. I want to get back on the winning horse soon.
Well, you're one of two teams that are 4-2. You're trailing to Brent, who is the only 5-1 team in our league. You're trailing by Brent point-wise by about 130 points or so. Derek and Brent being a much tighter race, Derek only being 10 points shy of Brent, but Derek having a more challenging record of 3-3 based on his unfortunate matchups, which is really, we talked about it at length last week. I keep coming back to that because I'm really feeling for the guy because, man, he's got a great team.
Yeah. I mean, I think I look at Derek's team and the arrow is clearly going up. I looked at Ben's team and I think the arrow is right up there. I think Andy's team, the arrow is going up. And right now I feel like the arrow is going down for myself. And I feel like there's a lot of teams in the league who probably would feel the same way about which direction things are trending for them. So, you know, it can swing quickly. Andy was probably feeling not too hot about his team until a good victory this week, or at least the results that he'd seen so far. And Derek probably wasn't feeling too great about back-to-back losses while scoring so high until he got a big win this week. So, you know, it changes quickly. But right now I'm on the low end of the swing. And it's probably because I feel like there are some guys on my team who aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing, which is, I hope is mostly injury related and gets cleared up by the end of the season. Cause I'm going to need them there if I'm going to make a stretch run.
Fair enough. Well, I call myself, in the same boat. There are certainly guys on my team that are not doing the things they're supposed to be doing. And that is scoring points and or playing on the roster. That's another thing that some of my guys have not been doing. They've been riding my bench. And so I'm my heart's still in it. I'm still excited about it. My hope is dwindling for the playoff run, but I'm fully bought into our league and fully continuing to invest and excited about just the quality that is this league and the competition of it. And I am glad that our rankings are what they are and that we don't have any 1-5 teams. It is a close race in there. And that's pretty cool that there's a running along the way that nobody's been eliminated yet.
Yeah, just like we thought when we talked last week, both of the one-loss teams ended up winning, though I would say that didn't happen exactly how we thought it would, looking at Michael specifically. Which really put a black mark on the lead in week six, with Michael leaving Jamaal Charles in his starting lineup, and also playing the Chargers defense, which we admonished him for leaving in the starting lineup, and appeared to make no updates to his roster whatsoever before week six, and yet he ended up winning anyway, rewarded with a victory for doing nothing, which is this is not how things are supposed to go, and that's a little disappointing. So I'm going to try to get on him this week and see if he's see if we can get him back into the swing of things as far as actively participating in the league goes.
Yeah, I think we had, as a commissioner, don't you have fining power in situations like this? You can pass down. I know the players' union's kind of difficult to navigate.
We don't have anything in the bylaws that allows me to deal out fines. I don't quite have that sort of power. If we want to vote on giving me that power, I am all for receiving more power and more authority and control going forward. So put that to the vote, and we'll see.
All right. Well, I'm all for voting for you to have that power, as long as I have a vote to, a swing vote to not have to pay that fine if it's
right,
ever using
right.
me. Yeah. As long as I have that power, can we vote on both of those things? That as a commissioner, you have the power to pass down fines, I somehow have a secret power to not pay them.
Yeah, no, that's a good idea.
By and law, I should be paying them myself.
And bylaw 35B, back to back, have a couple bylaws in there that says the commissioner can deal out fines and the lead member can choose not to pay them.
All right, motion carries. Motion passed. I should be paying a fine this week. We'll get to that. But I am anxious to talk a few statistics with you, as here we are right smack in what is the close middle to our season. Peter, you've got our statistics all updated for discussion. Why don't you tell me what you're looking at?
All right. So I'm gonna kind of quick hit you with some of the things that stand out to me as being very interesting as far as the statistics go for this season. First, number one, the freak show that is Derek and his roster decisions, where he has left on his bench through 6 weeks a total of 16 points. Okay. And otherwise has played his ideal lineup except for 16 points through the whole season.
Unbelievable. So, and still manages to be the number two in points by less than 10.
Yes.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Just a fine-tuned machine humming along right there, plugging exactly the right guys in all season long.
Did he, sacrifice a goat or something?
That's probably it. I mean, having Devontae Freeman makes a big difference, as that went from a bench player for him to the best running back in the league, and that will help plug any hole you have in your roster. But I mean, it's just remarkable every week. I think this past week may have been the most points he left on the bench all year at six. So, that's telling you something right there, that he, that was his season high for points left on his bench. So, because of that, if we look at our kind of our manager statistic, where we're looking at points for the season and the ideal versus average for the season, Derek is above and beyond gets the highest manager score for the year. As we stand here with six games in, where his, as we've mentioned before, create a manager plus stat where it's relative to lead average, 100 being average. So anything above that, you're that many percentage points above average. And Derek is currently at a score of 296. So he is approximately 196% better than the average lead manager right now, just based on his points scored being so high, and the fact that he's left no points on his bench. So he's essentially having a perfect managerial season.
Yep. And it's important for Derek. It's important to point out the only other manager that comes second and close to Derek, is Brock at a weak T manager score at 139 by comparison to 296.
Yep.
Huge discrepancy between Derek and the rest of this league. He's making us look like children.
Yes, and I would say the other manager call out is Brent, because he's the only one who is above average in both points scored and the ideal versus average statistic. Mm-hmm. So I'd say Brent's the second best manager at this point.
Yeah. Who would you say the worst manager is? Just glancing at these stats, Pete. As you look at these numbers, and the numbers don't lie. Even when the numbers were created by said manager. I feel like, you know, when Geppetto carved Pinocchio, and Pinocchio, you know, picked up his carving knife and stabbed Geppetto in the face.
Yeah,
like that's kind of.
Is that how that story goes? It's been so long since I've seen the movie.
I think so, but regardless, the allegory stands.
These stats are kind of kicking your butt right now, as far as evaluating you as a manager.
I'm getting a C plus and just barely.
Yeah, that's rounding up. But you know, misery loves company. You're not alone with where you are. Jared and Scott are both in a very similar boat in terms of low points scored and lots of points left on the bench. So yeah, but you right now you do have the lowest score at a 76 manager plus rating, so about 24% below average. Which, you know, it's only 6 weeks in, not lots of time to. Lots of time to make that up, but yeah. By comparison to Derek's 16 points left on the bench for the season, you've left 187 points on the bench.
Yeah.
For the season, Jared is next with 178 points left on the bench, and then I'm actually in third place, or I guess third worst now, with 150 points left on the bench for the year. So by order of magnitude, you can get a picture of just how ridiculous it is that Derek is at 16. When us bums here are leaving 30 points on the bench every week, and he's leaving 3 points on the bench every week.
Yeah, the difference being that your points four, despite your managerial decisions on sit versus play, you still are ranking just 3% below the average in the rank at 97. Excuse me, you're 11 points over. Your manager plus rank is 3% below, but you're still 11% over, so that more than accommodates for your third place standing in the IVA plus currently.
Yeah, and in my head, I distort that to say, well, it's just because I have, you know, a team that's full of good players. I can't play them all every week, and so that obviously I'm gonna have some guys score points on my bench that I can't play. So So that's the reason I'm not.
That's what that is. Yeah. No, I get it. Yeah, I get it. I was wanting to rest Greg Olsen this week. I felt like he needed the rest.
Right.
I was wrong about that, Pete. I'm gonna go ahead and claim my moment for the tonight. There it is.
I'm certainly wrong. You and I really stumped up the joint on the ideal versus actual points this week. Both of us. Leading the lead with over 45 points left on our bench that, you know, could have been out there helping us potentially win a game.
Yeah.
That was where that would be my I was wrong moment as well, where I had Stephen Smith and Marvin Jones tearing it up.
There you go, buddy. I got you.
And I played Randall Cobb and Antonio Brown.
And you did do those things.
Those are the guys who I need to starting the year. I mean, those were the first two guys on my roster, and I was like, man, Cobb and Brown, I feel good. In a PPR league, they're going to be catching 8 passes a game, and they've combined for about 25 points in the last 3 weeks. So
yeah, 8 passes total?
Yeah, just about. So yeah. I need Cobb to be fully healthy, doing Cobb things again, and I need Big Ben to come back for Pittsburgh so Antonio Brown can become relevant again.
I don't know if that's going to happen, Pete.
You don't think Big Ben's going to come back, or you don't think Antonio Brown's going to be relevant again?
Well, if those are correlated, then yeah, I guess both. I'm thinking that Big Ben is not going to come back strong for you.
I don't like what you're doing right now. I see through it. I don't appreciate it. You will not convince me that Antonio Brown is someone that I should trade to you. And,
Are you sure? Because next week I'll be playing, you know, your song about not trading him, and this is what you're going to hear.
Look,
as we discuss it.
Look, I'm not expecting Ben Roethlisberger back this week, but when he does come back, Antonio Brown will will ascend back to being a top five wide receiver.
You're shrewd like a snake.
Guarantee.
All right.
Guarantee.
Hoping to
boy
help you, empty up a slot for you. I don't know.
You are. That is unkind, sir.
Well, I don't. Desperate times.
Indeed. I thought we set some ground rules about that. We're playing each other this week.
I thought the ground rules rule. Stab each other in the heart before the other one does. All right.
It's that kind of fight, huh? All right.
Speaking of that kind of fight, let's...
Wait a minute. I got more stats.
Oh, okay. Stats. All right.
All right. Here's another fun one. Brock for the year. Do you know how many points his DST has scored for him for the year? All 6 weeks combined.
I don't know.
Zero.
No.
All 6 weeks his defense has scored 0 points. First week he had 5 points.
No.
Second week it was -2. Third week it was -7. Fourth week it was 1. Fifth week it was 0. And this week it was 3. And he's back. He's back to 0 points total for the year from his DS.
An old saying, I refer to my friend George W., who says something like, fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, okay, shame on me again. Fool me three times, guess you're just a butthole.
Is that what
you said? Or something like that. I don't even know. But the point stands, I would have made a DST change.
He has. He has. I think he's tried four or five different.
I would have made a good DST change along the way.
He has made four or five changes along the way, and
this is fun.
None of them have come out in his favor.
And you got to break the cycle. Just play without one for a week.
Yeah. The next worst DST player has 29 points for the season, so there's a big gap between Brock Zero and.
Well, I'll tell you, I haven't been watching the defense waiver closely because I've been riding the DST train for a while now on my own team. So I don't know what is the status. I mean, usually I'm a week to week kind of defensive matchup guy. Is there a lot of turnover going on in that position week to week?
Yeah, I think there's probably about four or five of us who are streaming every week, grabbing a new defense every week. I am one of them. Mm-hmm. It hasn't worked out splendidly for me. I only have 34 points from my defense, so it's not like doing anything great there. The lead leader at points from defense is Brian with 85, Brent has 72, and you have 65. So those are the top three. None of the streamers, I don't think, are really doing that great. Brent might be a streamer. He might be having the best luck. I'm not sure. But, it seems to be pretty bare out there on the waiver wire week to week as far as finding those good matchups. It seems to be I think there's a couple of guys who have held on to two defenses at different points of the year. So that kills the fun for those of us who are going for the week-to-week matchup.
Sure. Well, what other fun stats you got for us? That was a fun one.
Yeah. Just
don't talk to me about my wides. We can just sail on by that stat. I'm sure that's there somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we will. You're last in the lead in points scored from your wide
receiver. What did I just say? What did I just tell you?
Well, I mean, we're sailing on by it, but it had to be mentioned. So, Scott, however, is second to last in points scored from his wide receiver, and he's in last place scored from his running backs. So he's got the kind of the double dipping on the awful combo of getting nothing from his still position players at running back and wide receiver.
Mm. Good thing fantasy football isn't won and lost in skill positions.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. That's what they always say. It's not about your running backs and wide receivers.
There's a reason, reason they call him the kicker.
the last thing I'll point out is that we mentioned, I think, after the first week of non-division games where the challengers all played the incumbents, that the challengers swept the week where, and so maybe it was the year of the challenger. They're all gonna
yep
all going to make the playoffs and knock all the incumbents out of it. But the tide has turned a little bit there. Right now, the top two scorers, Brent and Derek, in the league are from the Challengers division. But the bottom three scorers in the league are also from the Challengers division. So all of the incumbents kind of fall there in the middle. But it's kind of at the extremes for the Challengers division.
Yeah, it's the way.
Quality of team. So a couple of big dogs there, and then it falls off pretty sharply for points scored on the year. So that is your stat update.
Stat roundup
for the week, and you know, now that we're 6 weeks in it, I wanted to have some time to talk about stats because it's less of it's still a small sample size fluke issue with certain things going on, but it's a little bit more meaningful data that we can actually talk about.
Yeah, and anytime we talk about stats, our Twitter just erupts too. You know, we've got just the many, many, many fans that just go crazy for our deep discussions on the numbers.
So. Yeah, absolutely. There's nothing that people like more than fantasy football stats specifically for our league. It's a staple.
The hit counter on our website is just, I can't add zeros fast enough. It just, right. No, you understand.
Yeah. Well, when all the zeros are to the left, it gets a lot easier.
They're to the right of the decimal point. All right. Well, kudos to Derek last week for another crushing win. His record slowly but surely catching up with his performances as he climbs out of that hole. Pete, sorry that loss stole some wind out of your sail, but you're still standing on top with that 4-2 rank, looking like you're technically in third place right now, but being plenty close to that run ahead of you. Now, I want to look at your schedule and actually compare your schedule to other schedules, specifically Derek's and Brent's and Ben's. Have you taken a look at that just yet?
I looked at my schedule last week, and I thought after playing Derek last week, it got pretty favorable for me.
Yes, but, it does.
That changes some. So I play you this week, and then I play Chris. And
right, which basically is, you know, the biggest mountain you've got to climb. And then from there, after...
Right.
However, I don't think that Derek is doing you any favors, with the exception of facing Brent in week 11. Your top opponent being Derek is going up against Andy, Michael, Brock, Scott, Brent, me, Chris. So,
I mean, basically right now, when you're looking at schedules, if you don't play...
Sorry, Brent, did you say schedules?
No, I...
I heard schedules. Have you been watching the NFL out of England?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
That's it, yeah. A lot of...
That's what I thought.
A lot of European NFL coverage is what's on in my house all the time.
All right, good.
No, I meant to say schedules. But if I did say schedule, I don't apologize. So looking at your schedule, if you aren't playing Brent or Derek the rest of the season, then your schedule looks pretty good. And that's where I'm at. I don't play Brent or Derek the rest of the season. So, you know, schedule looks pretty good right now. That's kind of how the league's stacking up. As far as the consistent top performers, you know, those are the two guys that you don't want to play. So that's what I'm looking at right now. So I like my schedule. Schedule.
There you go.
So yeah, but I think those two guys are going to have to play each other again. As we I think this might be the last. No, there's two more weeks of non-division games. So this week and next week are non-division games, and then we go down the gauntlet and finish with playing only within your division for the last 5 weeks of the year. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, Brent's schedule, I think, is the toughest when we look at that. He's going up against Jared this week, followed by Ben, Chris, me, and then he's got to wrap it up with Derek Brock Scott. So he's got the most up and down between now and the end of the season. And then, well, it depends. I mean, there's too many variables, too many factors going on here. Obviously, scheduling cannot be the ultimate determinant for a predictor of how you're going to end your season. But I certainly would say that if any hat is tipping in favor, that you're looking like you could go on a pretty steep and stout run between now and the end of the year.
I hope so. That's the goal. Lock up that playoff spot, rest
after,
the starters.
After this week, of course.
Yes, of course. Of course. Okay. I mean, I can't overlook this week. You know, thinking ahead, can't let it become a trap game of not getting focused and ready for this week. So.
Oh, right. No, of course you can. No, not at all. Well, with that, do you have any other stats you'd like to throw our way? Would you like to jump into a little bit of a matchup discussion? As we discussed earlier before we went on the air, we talked about how some of our matchups are going to be breezy this week. Not to throw anybody under the bus by any means, but we certainly will not have lengthy discussion on every single matchup, but there are some of note that we want to get to.
Yeah, so, I mean, looking at the way this week lines up, for example, we can hit some of the hopefully the quicker ones first. First, I mean, if you just look at Andy and Derek's matchup, it was already, you know, obviously going to be slanted in Derek's favor. He's outscored Andy every week this year. He's had a really good team, et cetera, et cetera. But then you look at Andy's bye week impact, and it is just he's just decimated by bye weeks with Aaron Rodgers and Emmanuel Sanders and Martellus Bennett all on bye, and so you know, Derek has the check mark at every single position right now and is favored by 53 points, and we know the ESPN projection system you know, can be off at times, but the biggest underdog winner so far this year has been about 15 points underdog and come back to win. So
right.
Once you get to like a 20-25 point underdog, your odds really aren't looking good. So yeah. Andy, I think Andy might be punting this week, and I don't
maybe
blame
so.
Him because it's probably not a game he's going to win anyway. So no need to go make a bunch of, you know, drops and ads and stuff of players that you're going to want after this week. And you can just pump this one, take the loss, and move on to the next week.
Yeah. You know, the only question, you make a great point that he's likely just going to roll through the tidal wave this week and move on. The only one that I do kind of raise a eyebrow to is the decision to grab Winston as your number two QB. I hope the waiver wire is not that dry.
I don't know, but Winston is going against Washington, whose secondary really sucks right now. So that's something in Winston's favor. Might be able to throw a lot and rack up some points there. I didn't see the transaction, but he might have been able to. I can look that up. He paid $1 for Winston back on September 6th and picked him up for $1. So. If he holds on to him for the year, and he starts to improve in the second half as the rookie quarterback, you know, it's a potential keeper option for next year. Something to always think about.
Sure. All right. Well, Godspeed, Derek. Derek's team looks strong despite, Giovanni Bernard being on bye. AJ Green is also sitting on the bench this week. Whether or not he would have been played, is in the air, but
when would you not play AJ Green? AJ Green's awesome.
I wouldn't play him against St. Louis. I wouldn't play him against San Francisco. Not San Francisco. Denver would be my question, and then Baltimore.
I guess you are the guy who bench Riggles.
This
Seattle,
is true.
So.
Yeah, like here.
I did it. I understand.
Yeah, like I mean,
I understand why you would not play AJ Green.
Do we need to revisit anything, Pete?
Yeah.
Do we need to have any other further conversation?
This is Yeah, I had big question mark above my head on Sunday when I saw your team, as I saw Greg Olson was having a big day. And I went to go check on how you were doing and saw him on your bench, and there's a big question mark inside a bubble. Just, you know.
Yeah, this is really, I mean, I'm having a flashback to like 20 minutes ago. Have we talked about this? I can't remember if we've covered this or not.
But now the
horse has been beaten.
The curtain's been pulled back a little bit, as I understand the thought process of why he would ever be on your bench. So now I did a little bit more. We got a little more clarity. We can move on. That's good.
However, I am thankful that it didn't make a difference. That would certainly put me in a different mood altogether in this moment.
Indeed.
Shut the hell up variety. So.
All right. So the next one that should be, but it may not be a slam dunk is Michael and Brock, where Brock is currently a 21-point favorite, though Michael has C.J. Anderson slotted at running back, who is on a bye this week. I think we might need to have a conversation at some point about the league commissioner powers when it comes to what we do about a guy who isn't updating his lineup. Should I insert any warm body in there for a bye week player? If, you know, Michael hasn't updated his lineup by Sunday morning. But for now, we will give him the benefit of the doubt that he will come back and actually manage his team this week. But if he does not, or whether he does or not, Brock is probably going to have a better day here and should take the victory over Michael.
Yep, I think you're right. Maybe we save that discussion for later. My first reaction is, heck no, should you use commissioner powers to fill slots? There's an expectation going into our league, and there are plenty of people who want to be here. So let's make sure that those that are in our league are those that are committed.
Yeah. Full disclosure, I did put Niall Davis into Michael's starting lineup over Jamal Charles because I could not stand the embarrassment to the league of leaving Jamal Charles in there when he's out for the year. And Niall Davis is not even the correct handcuff to Charles, but that's who Michael had on his roster as a handcuff to Charles. So put him in there for this week. So full disclosure.
It was a foot cuff.
Niall Davis and his projected 5.9 points is in there for Michael's lineup this week.
I mean, I appreciate your honesty. I mean, not a lot, but, you know.
Right. Well, yeah, and I would understand that there are those who are upset with that move, but I have a higher standard for the lead, but not
high enough to slip Greg Olson back on my bench. I see.
You know what? If you want to go revisit that again, we can. but there is no reason why I should be checking your lineup.
I was joking. Greg Olson. We've already. How many times I had to play this song? all right. Well, moving on then.
All right. Next up, we've got Brent playing Jared, who is Brent's at 5-1, Jared's at 2-4, and Brent is currently projected to win by 30 points.
I actually really like this this matchup.
I think so.
Yeah. Obviously, Brent's the favorite here. I don't think Jared is as much of an underdog as the projections are showing right now. Jared is in trouble being that half of his roster is on bye this week, or some of his primary options are. But at the same time, I like his team, and he continues to be proven to stick in there, and he beat me. So that's not true. I beat him in week five.
Yep.
I don't know. I don't think Brent's scoring. That's not true. He's going to crush him. I'm trying, Jared. I'm trying.
Yeah. I mean, it was a valiant effort, Seth, but this is.
Well, okay. I'll say this. Andy Dalton, is, not playing this week, and he's got Drew Brees in there. Drew Brees is up against Indianapolis. Drew Brees is getting old. Drew Brees' shoulder can barely hold on. Drew Brees' throws look different in the first quarter and in the fourth.
Drew Brees has thrown for over 300 yards in 4 out of the 5 games he's played
this year. I'm trying to, to keep this squishy middle and underdog potential here.
No, it's not here.
It's definitely not here.
We'll look elsewhere. We'll look elsewhere.
Yeah.
It's not here.
Yeah. Okay, when Le'Veon Bell tears his Le'Veon ACL on Sunday, then maybe.
There you go. So yeah, that's the situation you're looking at here. Yeah. Yep.
All right. Well, anything you want to say about their matchup?
No, I think Brent's got that one. It would seem in the bag, and I don't know if Jared would argue with that either. So
yeah.
he's a smart guy. He sees that he's got Matt Forte and Jeremy Hill on bye, and he's having to start LeGarrette Blount and Alfred Morris, who he probably doesn't want to start at all. So
He does have Mike Evans in there as a third string on his wide, going up against Washington this week. I would be interested to see that.
That's Brent's team.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay. Yep, that will be interesting. I think Mike Evans will probably have a good week.
Yeah, he's due, but I gave him up.
Yep. Yep. All right. That would just put a cherry on top of your season if he.
Oh, a big honking one. That's for sure.
Doesn't becomes a top 10 wide receiver the rest of the year.
No kidding. I'll have to sell my spot and just become a commentator. Just go to the booth.
I don't want that for you. All right. Next one is Scott and Brian, which is currently projected to be a very low scoring matchup. Scott doesn't have a kicker in there. So assuming he rosters a kicker, this should end up being about a 5 to 10 point game spread right now. So pretty close. This is kind of a anyone can win it sort of thing. Scott is obviously been troubled with Alshon Jeffrey and Dez Bryant injured all year. He got Jeffrey back last week, and Jeffrey was awesome. But now Jeffrey is on bye this week, so that's a bummer to get your best player back and have him be terrific and then not have him again because of the schedule. So he doesn't have Dez in there. I'm guessing Dez doesn't play this week, even though there are some reports that I guess it's possible he does. But that seems like a long shot to me, based on the initial reports on the injury. So, you know, that leaves Scott hurting and probably Brian in a good shape to bounce back from a bad week last week and win this one. You have any... this is your chance here. This is your chance to make an argument for Scott. You got an argument?
I do. I think that Charles Clay is going to have a big week up against Jacksonville. I think that Snead has been a lot of talk on him, and he looked really good.
Yeah, I really like Snead. He'll probably have a good week.
Yeah, I think so. So I think that there's a couple of performers that'll take Scott over the top here, with the Seahawks going up against San Francisco. I imagine that they're set up for a stronger defensive game than they've been having. So
that is true.
All that to say, I think that those things combined will make for a squeeze win for Scott.
All right. Yeah, I mean it could happen for Scott. I'm gonna pick Brian here. Just as, you know, I haven't seen it from Scott's team yet. Gotta show me something. He topped out in his week one performance with 125-ish points and hasn't got above that since. So, although he's increased his point to the last 2 weeks from the week before. So that's something for him, moving in the right direction. But yeah, again, with no Alshon, no Dez this week, I think he's got a tough game ahead of him. All right, so we have now wrote off about we wrote off four matchups basically as being I mean, I just the last one, Scott and Brian, that should be close, but the other three probably not that close. All right, so now let's go to yours and mine.
Okay,
And right now, you've made some lineup changes. All right, good. This makes the projected score much closer than it did, and then it looked 30 minutes ago. All right, so I'm projected to win by 14 right now. I think don't feel super confident in that. I might have to make some lineup changes myself for a couple spots I don't like. We shall see. But how do you feel right now? You feel like you got an underdog shot at a win here?
A little bit, only because you're talking about those spots that you would fill. You've got CJ Spiller and Kamar Aiken. And Aiken is actually not a bad option up against Arizona. But other than that, those are your options. The rest of, unless you're planning on picking somebody up or making a move, everybody else is on bye for you. So
yeah, you're right.
You're limited. Yep. But
might drop Spiller. Not loving Spiller. Oh. We'll see.
Been there, done that. If you just play Dallas every week all season long, maybe you'd have a chance.
Why doesn't he catch an 80-yard touchdown pass every week? I don't understand.
I don't get it.
What's going on there?
I need to score points to beat you. Believe it or not, that seems to be the key to winning.
Oh my gosh!
I've picked up on that this year, and
it's like such a generic NFL coach thing to say.
Profound, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
So
you didn't score more points than the other guys.
Trick is to score more points. Whether or not I can do that this week, I don't know. Let's see here.
So I liked Latavius Murray for you this week.
Yeah, I do too.
Really good matchup against San Diego. I liked Greg Olsen this week, going against Philly. I like Eric Decker this week.
Yeah, he's back in New England.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think the New England secondary is exploitable, and the Jets probably will be throwing a lot.
Yep.
And your Colts players.
I hope so. I need Eli Manning to make up on that. Jets.
Yeah, your Colts players, Frank Gore and Andre Johnson, they should be pretty good against New Orleans, who's not a very good team. So, and then Eli Manning going against Dallas.
I think that's going to be great.
I don't know about that one, actually.
Yeah?
I
think he's going to throw an interception. I've already made up my mind on that. But what were you going to say?
Does the Cowboys seem to limit Tom Brady fairly well as far as limiting Tom Brady and the Patriots goes in week 5, and then they went on bye, and now they're coming off a bye week playing the Giants. So I kind of like the Cowboys defense to do well this week. Yeah. And Eli to make a lot of bad throws that get picked off and that sort of stuff. So, you know, the Cowboys pressure on the quarterback was much better once they got, Greg Hardy back. Domestic abuser Greg Hardy. I think that he should always have that.
He's roided
tag,
up.
Tag on as you discussed Greg Hardy, but he made their defense look a lot better against the Patriots. So don't love Eli this week. I do love my quarterback this week, Carson Palmer.
Yeah.
Going up against Baltimore, who has the worst pass defense in the league and consistently gives up huge point totals to opposing quarterbacks. So Carson Palmer all week long. I like that. I liked what I saw out of Lamar Miller last week. It seems like the new coaching regime in Miami is actually going to give him the ball. And so that will be a positive for him. He's had a season high in carries and got his first touchdown of the year. And I don't love my wide receivers because Antonio Brown still without Big Ben. Steve Smith will be up against the tough corners for Arizona. And Brandon Marshall's a stud. He should do fine against New England. Though I bet he did some special attention from New England's game planning, so he might get shut down. So really, I'm really relying on my quarterback here to carry me this week because I don't love a lot of the other matchups that I've got, and my options are limited because of bye weeks, as we said. So I think this will actually be a very close game, and I'm a little nervous looking at it.
I hope it's a close game. I think you'll come out on top, but I hope it's a close game just for the sake of it being interesting. And it's the Martin Elwood game, and this is always a big week for us. So
yeah, everyone talks about this one.
Everybody, this is a highlight. In fact, I'm last report I got, that 11 out of 12 of our league commissioners will actually follow this over their own projecting and scores over the weekend. This will be the one on their primary screen. Yeah.
Wow.
The 1 out of 12, you know who you are.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And yeah. We know who you are.
Yep, we do. Mm-hmm. We do. Selfish jerk. Mm-hmm. All right.
Commissioner fines, they're coming.
Yep.
It's going to be a thing.
Get ready. All right, the last one is our de facto game of the week. Although you and I might make a strong case for it. Yep. But Chris and Ben are kind of projected to be 1.6 points apart. So that's a tight one. And Chris is 3-3, Ben is 4-2, so we're kind of in that swing state of the standings where this can either be they will be locked up in the standings after this week, or Ben will be ahead of Chris by 2 games. So that's kind of a fun added element to it. Chris is rolling out Andrew Luck against New Orleans. That should go very well for him, except for that Ben has T.Y. Hilton and Dante Moncrief, the kind of the top 2 Colts wide receivers that Andrew Luck will be throwing to a lot. So that limits the upside for Chris. It doesn't actually limit the upside too much for Ben, since if those guys are catching touchdown passes, that's more points for him than it is for Chris. So that should play into this being a close matchup when both guys are scoring points at the same time from the quarterback and wide receiver matchups. One of my favorite running backs this week, Chris has Todd Gurley going up against Cleveland, who has a very poor rushing defense. Gurley's coming off a bye and also off of 2 pretty massive games before the bye week where he got basically 150 yards rushing in each one. And St. Louis fed him the ball a lot for a rookie coming off injury start the year. So love Todd Gurley this week, and I think Chris will get a big score from him. So on the other side, Ben has Marshawn Lynch, who ran decently against Carolina. Still hasn't really looked like himself yet this year. Perhaps we'll have a more favorable time going up against San Francisco and their crappy rushing defense. So we'll see. They'll go tomorrow night, so they're a pretty good indication of how this matchup's going to go. Yep. But I think overall it's going to be a close one. Ben is trying to fire the Matthew Stafford bullet for the second week in a row successfully, and that's a game of roulette that probably don't want to play consistently, but he is waiting for Big Ben to come back from injury. So that's where we are. You know, this is the game of the week. I don't see it as a very high-scoring matchup. Don't see a lot of high-scoring matchups happening this week. I think the bye weeks this week are, you know, pretty significant with Denver and Green Bay and just some of these kind of potent offenses on bye this week. That's going to limit the amount of scoring that we see. Oh, and Cincinnati as well. And Chicago's the other team. So yeah, lots of high scoring offenses on bye this week. So I think we're seeing that impact in these matchups where they're not really going to be, you know, big scores. It might be some grinded out 120 point wins this week.
Maybe so. Unfortunately though, like even thinking about Brent's team, I think you're right. They will be much less than ordinary, but, ordinary has been in the 170 range for many. And, you know, like with Andy missing, with Brent missing Andy Dalton, the hemisphere that he's still in is way north of what been our league average. So.
Yep, that's true. Yeah, and the drop off from Andy Dalton to Drew Brees is not very substantial.
Yeah, significant drop. Yeah.
Yeah. It's I mean, like Jared is facing a drop off from Matt Forte to Alfred Morris, which is huge. And so the quarterback bye is usually the easiest one to suffer.
Yes, indeed. Well, with that, you give your final nod to Chris on this one?
I'm going to go with Chris just because I like Gurley so much this week.
Yep. Yeah, I think I like Lance Moore a lot this week, too. So I think a couple of those things are...
I used to love Lance Moore so much like 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah?
Oh, man, when he and Drew Brees were Clinton, you know, indoor Lance Moore was my favorite player to roster every week. He was so money. Only when they played indoors, but so money.
All right. Well, that brings us to our power rankings. And may I say, just barely did we have the opportunity to dissect and discuss the commissioner power rankings, the comments from this week. Pete, what it led you to once again struggle to get those out?
Well, you know, it's just other priorities in terms of real life work taking place, and worked until about 1 a.m. past couple nights. I just didn't quite feel up for it last night when it came about time to shut it down for the evening and say, "Oh, I should write some power rankings." I said nay. So I hope you don't mind. I borrowed 15 minutes of our possible record time pushes back so I could get these done. But as far as the actual rankings go, we saw some movement this week. Ben jumped up 3 spots and Andy jumped up 3 spots with him. So that no surprise there. Those guys moving from 7 and 8 to 4 and 5, looking good, with, wins last week and big wins last week. I think they both scored a season high in points, potentially. I might be wrong about that with Ben. He might have had a bigger week, but I think it might have been season high points for both of them. Whereas on the other hand, Brian fell 3 spots from number 4 to number 7, and Chris fell 3 spots from number 5 to number 8. So those that group of 4 flip flop places, jumping over Brock, who stayed at the number 6 spot. Derek moved up to number 2 from number 3 and flipped with me, whereas Stotts stayed in the 12 hole, and Seth, you're doing a little routine here of jumping back and forth between the 9th through 12th spots. So it's kind
I like
of
to
a,
keep my options up.
Yeah, kind of a fun little game of where will Seth be next week? Because I don't think you've stayed in the same spot yet.
It's a gift. What can I say?
Indeed.
Well, Pete. Given that they were quick outputted list of commissioner's notes, I still must praise you. They are sharp, and they sting deeply. I had the pleasure of offering my own this week, like we discussed last week. Thought you could have some guest commissioner's comments in there. So disclaimer, the one written about Peter was not written by Peter himself, but it was written by me this week, and also written on the fly because I didn't think about it until you were waiting on me, cunning nonetheless. I like this.
Oh, so not only are you finding out that it's not as easy as it looks to write the power rankings comments, but you are also indulging in the time-honored tradition of patting yourself on the back for the power rankings comments.
That's exactly what I'm doing.
I'm glad to know it's not just me.
Yeah.
It is the hypnotism of and the power of creating the power rankings comments.
Right.
It just sucks you into the wormhole of praising yourself.
Yeah, no man can withstand it. This is true. But Pete, good job on those. I've got to rank my power rankings this week. It's time for RPR, which was the unofficial official name that we happened upon last week after a swing and a miss of the power ranking preferences, which just came out of nowhere.
Man,
I mean, hey, man, it was a big, big swing, big miss. But fortunately, the recovery was enough for a base hit. So the RPR this week, by my choice, is going to be delivered to Ben, whose comment after jumping 3 spots reads, "Champion of the random scrub who goes off whack-a-mole."
I like that one.
Well said.
I like that one. Matthew Stafford scored 37 points last week after being terrible all season. So, and I think he was benched the week before, and then he scored 37 points last week. So my I also liked Brian's, where it said no one was expecting big things in week 6, but that was a big fart noise. So,
yeah. I like that one too. I liked Andy's as well. in the comment about the irony between the rank we gave him after the draft.
Yep.
And where he is today.
Quite yeah, coaches love the negative comments from the media. Throw those up on the bulletin board and inspire their players to show them, hey, no one believes in us, but the guys in this room, let's go out and show them.
Except for Nick Saban. That guy's a jerk.
Well, yeah, of course. Yeah. It's a given.
Yep. Well, with that, good sir, what say you before heading into a week 7 ahead?
I'm excited to play you this week, Seth. It's the only time we're scheduled to play each other before the playoffs this year. So, you know, I hope for a good matchup. I think we're in a good spot to have a good matchup. I don't think it's going to be a blowout either way. So, I'm looking forward to it. As my podcast partner, comrade in arms, it'll be a pleasure to face you on the gridiron. So I will virtually shake your hand before I hope to punch you in the mouth on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Man, didn't know if that monologue could have more metaphors laced inside.
Whoa.
I was impressed. No, I'm not being condescending. I was truly impressed with how many.
When you go back and listen to this, rewind the tape about like 3 minutes to your own metaphor laced monologue. And we'll compare
concerning what
the big swing and a miss, and still getting enough on it to get a base hit. So that I didn't say anything, but
but you could have.
I could have, but since you're calling me out for
I was saying I was impressed.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right.
There's no tone.
No, I won't trade you Antonio Brown. Quit trying.
Damn it. Oh, and that's going to do it for tonight's episode of Truth and Reconciliation. He's Peter Elwood. I'm Seth Martin. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week. Good night.